Scalpins Audio.
Hey guys.
I wasn't ready.
Julian just said he was ready and then he guzzled some Red Bull and now you're ready?
Full sugar Red Bull.
Cool. I'm Meg Malloy.
I'm Julian McCullough and you're listening to The Soft Spot.
Soft Spot.
Where we're always ready.
We are.
You used to drink Red Bull and you don't drink it anymore.
Yeah, well, I cleaned up my act.
Ouch.
I know. I'm a kombucha woman now.
That's true.
Yeah. I stopped smoking. I started going to hot yoga. Although now
how did that work out for you?
Now I think I'm done with hot yoga.
So, guys, if you're out there and if you're listening to this and you're hearing it, you are. Right?
You are, yeah.
If a podcast falls in the woods and you're there to hear it, then you're the one that heard it.
Yep.
That's the saying. We had a, I'll say.
I like how you're starting this with we.
Well, as your partner, I was very
scared. I was very scared. I don't want to call myself a yogi, but isn't that like how...
Isn't a yogi a teacher?
A yoga-er? I don't know. Practicer? Practitioner of yoga.
I'm like a dirty yoga guy, like a yogurt.
Yeah, You are. You are a dirty yoga guy. Anyway, I've been doing hot yoga for, I don't know,
five or six years now. Okay.
Regularly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to shout out the place that I go to because one of the ladies from Girls already ruined it. Mm-hmm. And I started going there in New York. And because she ruined it, it sucked because classes were full. But also it ruled because they opened in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one less transition that I had to make.
That's good.
So
now, hot yoga, just I thought this was interesting when you first took me to this place, is very different from Bikram yoga.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was like levels.
Yeah. I'm not going to like specify what kind of yoga is what, because as long as I've been going, still when they call things by the actual like yoga name, uh-huh, I'm like, break it down in plain English. I really don't know what you're asking me to do.
Well, I thought
but I do know what caused the thing that happened to me,
mm-hmm,
and it was a motherfucking forward fold.
Right.
There might be a yoga name for it, but all I know it as is a forward fold. And I dove down, and when I came back up, the room was a spinning.
Yeah.
And then things kind of went back to normal-ish.
Not like you were falling in love spinning.
No. Like, am I moving? Am I still? Did I just poop my pants? Like, I was very disoriented.
Is there a worse place to poop your pants than hot yoga?
Probably not. Probably not. I can't think of it. Anyway, so I came back up and I was like, whew, that was a lot. But mm-hmm, I was thinking, oh, I just came back from vacation and maybe it's like all of the toxins coming out of me because, mm-hmm, I did put away a lot of beer.
Those Cabo toxins.
That's right. Put away a lot of beer. So I was like, maybe I'm just like sweating it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done that in a while. And then we did the fetal position thing at the end and I was like, this is not supposed to make you dizzy.
Difference between you and me, by the way, is you get dizzy in yoga and you're like, I ain't no bitch, and you finish yoga. And if I get dizzy, I'm like,
you just
bye.
Crawl.
Yeah, I just leave. There's no way I'm putting up with that. But go ahead.
Yeah.
You're tougher.
Yeah, I don't know this toughness. It's just there, man.
Okay.
Even if I'm suffering, I'll never admit it.
It's the two things that I'll leave for are dizzy. If I get dizzy or if I'm shortness of breath, I won't stay for those two things. Other than that,
I'll
stay.
You have explosive diarrhea.
But I haven't left for that yet.
I thought you might this last time. But
no,
anyway.
No. That was for breath.
So I felt a little shitty, but the evening went on pretty normal. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, sat up, and the room was just whizzing round and
like
round.
A merry-go-round.
Then I Linda Blair'd my dick off and just projectile vomited for like the next 12 hours until I got my shit together and decided to do the Epley maneuver. Mm-hmm. But I knew I would barf even more doing that. And I was like, can I handle it?
Well, you say that like you already had the Epley maneuver in your pocket and you knew what it was and in case this happened. This was a mystery while it was happening.
I saw the video and the lady's eyes are like jiggling all over the place, the cartoon lady. And I'm like, is that what my eyes look like? Just looking at her eyes made me want to barf.
Well, we got to break this down because people have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, we're also not a medical podcast.
No, we're not. So. But I'm saying some more descriptors. So basically, you got dizzy and you had no idea what it was.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was just screaming.
And then
and pretty sure I was dying.
Yeah. Being dizzy, we've talked about this before this happened, that feeling nauseous or nauseated, as you're supposed to say.
Cut an extremity off with a rusty saw.
Yeah.
I'd pretty much rather you do that than me get dizzy.
Being nauseous
is
the worst.
I'm a little bitch when I get dizzy, and I just can't stop barfing.
It's the worst.
Just can't stop.
So you don't know why it's happening. Mm-mm. And the combination of feeling that sick...
And not having medical insurance.
Well, that also.
Yeah.
But not knowing why.
Yeah. No, it was horrible.
Because when I'm sick or in pain or whatever, it's the mystery is the scariest part.
Yeah. For me, usually I'm like, I'll just pretend that's not there until it's not there.
But if the room is spinning like a top,
I can't just roll over. Because when I rolled over, I just... And blue chunks everywhere.
Usually my first mode with no insurance is I'm gonna have a Diet Coke and maybe that'll make this better. That's usually
I always text like all the medical professionals in my phone, usually my sister. I'm like, hey, these are the symptoms, what do you think?
Right.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how fucked am I if I go to the emergency?
You start getting desperate, you're like going to the girls' room, you're like, I'm gonna read the Dr. Seuss books. Maybe there's some medical advice in there.
When I passed my kidney stone, I literally texted a dude I had dated who I ghosted on like hard. And I was like, hey, long time no talk. I'm squatting over the toilet naked, passing a kidney stone, but thinking also maybe I'm having a toilet baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey. And he was like, how are you? How have you been? Want to grab a drink? And I was like, I'm a little busy right now. Had a question for you.
He knew. Yeah. That must happen to doctors a lot.
He never responded. So,
oh, really?
No.
Okay. So we figure out through a series of I interviewed you about your symptoms and why it was, you know, everything like that. We narrowed it down to vertigo.
Yeah.
Which is like BPPV. They say this, we found out that it was BPPV.
Yeah.
Which stands for...
Banana per vertigo.
Bipolar Parmesan.
Vertigo.
Pacino.
Yeah, and it's the fucking pits, dog. If you get it, get somebody to help you do one of the maneuvers online.
So they have this.
Also, they say you shouldn't do it yourself, but we're living in a country with a pretty sad medical system. So if you're like me.
Yeah, they all say go to the doctor and have him do it. But the way you were sick was like, there's no way we're getting you out of this room.
Also,
much less.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten in a car.
Right.
Also, don't be a little bitch, you know? Just grab your nuts and do the Epley.
Well, when they say don't do it alone, I still agree with that I don't know that you... Do you think you could have done it alone, like without someone holding your head?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think about all those movies like James Franco having to like cut off his own arm, and I'm like, could I do it?
Well, now you know you could, because that's easier than what you went through.
But I wouldn't have to be tough in front of anyone, and I am at my toughest when there are spectators around. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. You know, but when I'm alone, I'm just like...
Really? That's weird. Yeah. I keep myself calmer when I'm alone. I won't let myself lose it alone, because then I feel like an extra crazy person if I'm just like wailing by myself. I talk myself calm.
Well, that's super great for you. Anyway,
I felt so bad for you, by the way. I just want to say that obviously this was the worst. I think probably you said it was the worst you've ever felt.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And I felt so bad for you. And so if you're out there and you get this thing, it's basically you got to rearrange this salt molecule that keeps...
Enough
you don't
want to
get
science.
Into it?
No, we don't need to get into it. Anyway, if your partner sees you in this state, vomiting everywhere, vomit in your hair, your eyes jiggling back and forth. You're just crawling on your hands and knees and moaning, and they still want to get in the bone zone with you later. Congratulations, because they really love you.
Oh, is that Arth's case?
Because, man, I'm pretty sure I've never looked worse in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got that sweet neck brace.
And then I had a neck brace, and yeah. And now I sleep with a neck brace on, and I'm 1,000 years old. Anyway, we're going to talk about happier things now.
Yes. We decided our soft spot topic for this week is still summer.
It's still summer because we had a lot of summer stuff to talk about when we had our show with Matt Ingebretson,
yes,
Moses Storm, and Lizzie.
Yes.
And we just didn't have enough time.
We didn't have enough time in the summer.
We had such a good time, and Moses' story was so good. Everyone was like, tell us more.
Yeah, it took over the whole podcast.
And I couldn't compete with a story like that.
That was insane. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back right now and listen to the live episode with those guests. The Moses Storm story about his mom and the roller rink is just one of the best stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. Who knew we would uncover something so awesome?
Yeah.
I didn't. Anyway, I love summer, and it's just so weird being an adult now and having kids,
mm-hmm,
who are on summer break.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you feel as euphoric as I once did as a youth who could sleep until any hour and like just run around the neighborhood, also different times, and just,
yeah,
basically disappear from sunrise to sunset.
Mm-hmm.
But I
remember
think
trying
it's
to stay in the house sometimes, and my parents were like, nah.
Yeah.
Get out.
No, I think I was a little more of an indoor kid, but man, I was hanging out. I was being bad.
I was
doing
allowed,
bad kid stuff.
I was allowed to hang out in the house, but I wasn't allowed to watch TV all day.
Oh, yeah. No, neither were
so,
we.
So, you know, once they take the TV away, you're kind of like, well,
what am I going to do? Clean this place?
Yeah. What am I going to read a book?
Yeah, absolutely not. What is your favorite summer? What was your favorite summer?
I have a few. A good one that springs to mind immediately is a previous guest of ours, John Millhiser, who talked about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
He just posted on Instagram a picture of him and his boyfriend at Ocean City, New Jersey. And it was a beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time we ever like went to the beach as a family, extended family, like everybody, Aunt Karen, Uncle Jeff, Yom, Pops, my sister, like cousins, everybody got a shore house in Ocean City. And it was, you know, we were growing up in San Francisco. Ocean City's in New Jersey. We grew up at this point, we were living in San Francisco, me and our side of the family. So there was no like beach that felt like that,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it was my first experience. Like, I think I was 9. And what an age to be at a
you're
beach
like
for
right
the summer.
You're like right on the cusp of being into TNA.
Yeah, you're like, I think this you're boner's like, either for Hulk Hogan or that girl down the street. But
yeah,
either way, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's for a Transformer or it's for Natasha, my fifth grade love.
Oh.
But yeah, it was a great summer. I remember eating cream cheese and jelly sandwiches like all day long.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. My mom would have never allowed that.
Yeah. I mean, you see,
I was eating Boca burgers.
Oh, man. I didn't even know they had
and
those.
Protein shakes. Hell yeah. Boca burgers been around for a minute, dog.
But you were in the Miss America pageant.
Well, no.
That's how Boca burgers and protein shakes sounds like a.
My mom is, she's a fitness mom. She's a fit mom. Hashtag fit mom.
Mm hmm.
I'm not a fit mom.
Yeah.
I wish. Anyway, no,
my
I don't
mom
wish.
Was a fit knees mom.
A fit what?
A fit knees mom when she was fitting these titties into that bathing suit because they were so big.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Wow. I don't even know where to go after that.
She was a fit. Well,
back to Boca Burgers.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a debutante ball that I was coerced into participating in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I had to keep it tight.
Well, this is the only like time I can remember where I was allowed like unlimited food like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I think it's because, you know, the options are limited at a shore house. You buy what you buy, and then that's
also
what's there.
You're not a preteen girl in the South where everybody's like,
Yeah,
you should kill yourself if you're not perfect.
Exactly.
Just go kill yourself.
But I remember playing wiffle ball in the street. I mean, what is this, the 50s?
I know.
I remember body surfing and realizing how fun that is, and getting beat up by the ocean was a great feeling.
Yeah.
I think when you're, especially for a boy, I don't know, I can't speak for girls, but as a boy, you start having this like budding aggression and all this energy that you don't know what to do with. And having the waves crush you into sand and toss you around is like really satisfying for some reason as a boy. It's like, you know, it's like football, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
I get that. I think I was more aggressive, me and my sisters, than most. So for
us, you probably would have loved it.
We were like into water sports from a very early age, mm-hmm. and, you know, wiped out all the time and got back up and went for more.
Yeah.
Also, when you're a girl, it's hard because you got to keep your, you know, you got to keep your brand new boobies concealed. And it's just not easy. That's mm-hmm. like a whole thing to get used to, wearing a bathing suit out in public, having these new lady lumps out in public.
Right.
And just, I don't know.
I can't
imagine.
It's
a whole thing. I remember my first summer with boobs. I was like, I'm so proud of these. They're so great. But also, like, don't look at them.
Right.
So that was tough.
I can't even imagine. There's nothing to compare that to with boys, other than like you're terrified of being pantsed in front of everyone. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
And it did happen to me. But anyway, that was. Oh, and then the last thing I'll say is I remember because Ocean City had a nearby boardwalk, and it also had mini golf, but like the really fun kind, you know,
mm-hmm.
like with the big
themed,
the big theme mini golf. And the only radio station that anybody put on back then was WOGL, which was the oldies station in Philly. So it was all Motown.
That's so crazy. I remember hearing oldies nonstop all over the place growing up too.
Yeah. Well, the 80s had a huge 50s fetish.
Yeah, there was like a resurgence of
American Graffiti was made in the 80s. Stand By Me.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Grease. Mm-hmm. All that stuff was like, they were obsessed with it was baby boomers basically being like, remember when?
I know.
You know?
I know.
And then
I thought,
as their children had to be like, I guess the Supremes are my favorite band.
I rode so hard for the Beach Boys from mm-hmm. such a young age.
Heck yeah.
And I just didn't understand that they were already pretty fucking old when I was listening to them.
Yeah.
And when I finally got that, I was like, so what do people listen to now? What are the other people listening to?
So you were 10 in 95. So that would have been grunge, which is like,
I know. I went from being like, I live in a world where the Beach Boys are current and cool and hip, to diving directly into like Nirvana, Courtney Love, for better or for worse. You know, I loved No Doubt at mm-hmm. the time. I still love that album.
You do. You love horns.
I'm sorry.
You love ska horns.
Don't say that like I'm a big ska head.
No.
Ska?
I don't know what ska heads. Skanks? What are they
skanker?
Called? A skanker?
But
anyway, that was a great summer. And I remember, you know, just wiffle ball oldies, the smells, coconut oil and mm-hmm. the beach. And it's just like a wonderful thing. And it never. Oh, one funny thing I'll say is when we first got there, my cousin Courtney was a baby, like less than a year or maybe a year old.
Mm-hmm.
Just this big, beautiful, bouncy, you know, Jan used to call her Moose as a baby. Anyway, I think it was Karen or Jeff put her on the bed when we first got to the house,
mm-hmm.
turned around for like a second, and Courtney just rolled out the window.
What?
Yeah. It was a first story window, but she just rolls out
shit.
The window, and Karen was like, ah! Like, I just remember this so clearly. And she just panicked, obviously. She's like a normal person, so she lost
wow.
her mind.
I'm picturing a baby transforming into like a soccer ball and then just rolling.
Yeah, like a potato bug.
Yeah.
So
a little doodle bug of a person.
Karen runs out of the house, around to the side of the house, and it was just like long grass, mm-hmm. next, thank God, next to the house. And Courtney was just laying there laughing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so lucky.
She was fine, yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like fell off of stuff a few times, but I don't think that I had enough cushion to like laugh it off. So that's so, very lucky.
So you've told me this before, mm-hmm. That you learned to water ski when you were like...
Very little.
I would say too little.
I think I was 4 or 5 the first time I tried, and I had these little Mickey skis that were tethered together, because beginner skis
Because your legs aren't strong enough
or they used to be. Yeah, because it takes a lot of quad power to keep those skis parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad would just keep, he would just keep going over and over until I got up. And then I was so good at it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you love it?
I haven't done it in a long time, but I remember I loved water skiing. I loved showing off. I'm being like, look how little I am. And yeah. I'm better at skiing than you. But I also was terrified of the lake water. Mm-hmm. Every year it would take me, this was Lake Livingston, mm-hmm. and it's north of Houston, in like Sam Houston State Park. And it is dark, dingy, shitty water. And there are gators and water moccasins and all kinds of stuff. And every summer it took me like a solid day or two of like dipping my toe in and being mm-hmm. like, nah, I don't think so. And so when I would finally get in, I'd like immediately put my skis on, like hold on to the dock and be like, all right, let her rip.
You're like, I only want to go 6 inches below the surface of
yeah,
this water.
And then as soon as I was done, I did this like lasso move where my dad knew it was time to drive me back by the dock. Uh-huh. And I'd let go and I'd slowly sink. And then I'd just scramble
aww.
Like hell for the dock because I was like, I'm not going down.
What did the bottom feel like?
Oh, it's so gross. Yeah. It was just like clumps of, it wasn't even like sand. It's just like mud. And
seaweed?
Seaweed. No.
Or algae.
Yeah, mud, algae. It was just like slippery and gross.
Yeah, so gross.
And there's a lot of gators down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go, you know, see them where they lived, Alligator Cove. With an eye shot of where I was being taught how to ski. So,
can you imagine being a gator and seeing a 4-year-old on water skis and being like, "Oh my god, I want that so bad."
Look at her showing off.
You would look so delicious.
I'm gonna snap her like a twig.
Yeah, you're the perfect size.
Yeah,
you're like a nugget. You're like
a little
chicken nugget.
Plen-sized candy bar.
Yeah. What was a good summer for you? What was an excellent, was it the first boob summer or was
it? The first boob summer, definitely. I felt like I came into my power.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What year is this? 11?
97, 98, somewhere around there.
So like 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember, a few times dudes opened doors for me and I was like, oh my god.
Oh wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Look what these knockers can do. Like, that's crazy. Nobody was trying to open doors for me last summer.
That's sad because you should open doors for little girls anyway.
I know, but then I was like, you know, I learned how to do liquid liner and was just heavily applying a cat eye. Mm-hmm. I still wear it to this day, which was totally not age appropriate at the time. So I'm like
so
a
where
cat
were
eye
you?
And buttloads of body glitter and like huge knockers.
And you were 13?
And I was 13.
Oh my god.
And I was like, yeah, open the door for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just felt like I went from being like this little fuggo to it was my swan moment.
Yeah.
It felt really good. And
there's something about the summer, though, also that make your hormones go insane.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it was weird because I was like enjoying the attention, but also like pretty horrified by it, which I think is something that a lot of women feel hit puberty.
How do you deal
and
with that?
It's kind of something that never goes away.
Right.
It's like, you want to feel pretty or you want to feel attractive. Sometimes you even want to be objectified a little bit, but you also don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a tricky like balance to strike.
Well, I think it's why progress is so messy.
Yeah.
Because people are messy.
Yeah.
It's not just, you can't just like put into law how people feel,
right?
You know, and sexuality and all of that is very you know, it's subjective and it's complicated and it's messy. So it's tough.
I remember when I was probably 14 or 15, my mom's friend Susan, they would like have cocktails, you know, all the time in the backyard. Mm-hmm. All the kids are just running around.
Susan is such a mom's friend name.
Yeah, Susan. And I remember she was like, you should be in Playboy. And I was like, that actually appeals to me.
Why would a woman tell a teenage girl to be in Playboy? Can I ask you what the motivation is behind that?
She was like, you can make so much money. She was totally drunk. And I was like, God, Susan, that sounds like an excellent career path for me.
Yeah.
At the time, my mom was horrified that she told me that. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, whatever.
I guess it depends on your age when somebody says that to you.
It does depend on your age. And no obviously, one should be saying that to a 15-year-old girl. I wouldn't have done it at 15.
Right.
But 18?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't even know how much money you get for that.
I don't think that you get very much.
Also,
that was sort of like pre-internet. It wasn't pre-internet, but it was like the internet was not what it is now.
How fully connected are you to the idea of what is going on when you pose for Playboy to the reaction? In other words, if you're a 15-year-old girl, you don't realize, or do you?
I don't think you realize the level of work that goes into modeling. Because now that I've been hair and makeup on shoots, and I've never done any Playboy shoots, but I've done, you know, like fashion stuff where, you know, there is some level of nudity, mm-hmm. or there's implied nudity or whatever. And God, the way the models have to like contort their bodies,
yeah,
and
to look natural.
And they have to contort their bodies and they have to look like piece of cake, you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
like just kind of bored and hot. And it's actually, I think, very hard.
I mean, a minute having your picture taken for a minute feels like lifetime.
Yeah.
So,
but
and they have to do hours.
Pose to pose to pose to pose to pose.
So weird.
But in my mind, I was like, maybe I'll cash in on these knockers.
Well, what I mean is the perversion factor. Are you aware as a 15-year-old girl?
Oh, are you aware that everybody's going to?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't think that crossed my mind at all.
So that's why I used to get mad, because I'm like, that's why when I hear someone like Susan say that to you, I'm like, as a boy, I'm like, what a fucking monster. Who would put, because I know what the boys are doing with those magazines.
See, I was like, you see me, Susan.
No.
Thank you.
There's just such a huge, I think there used to be a lack of awareness about what was, you know, what men were really
like.
But
I also grew up in Texas and like didn't even understand what an orgasm was for a long time.
Right.
Because there's zero sexual education. Zero.
Yeah.
There's none. There's literally none.
The only sex ed.
Everybody's like, if you wear tampons, then you're not a virgin anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's literally like that.
The only sex ed in Texas is when the Hooters waitress reads the specials.
Oh man. You really liked that one.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Anyway, I enjoyed my new boobs. Natural,
mm-hmm.
I guess I need to specify, although yeah. It shouldn't matter. But I did know a lot of chicks in high school who, for like their 16th birthday, would be like, I want boobs. And that was
oh,
like,
really?
Plastic,
we're not going to wait and see if these
come
in.
Surgery is just such a thing down there. It's almost like a status symbol. Nobody's trying to get natural looking anything.
I remember one summer I got my first muscles and I was like staring at them a lot. And
yeah.
They were nothing. I mean, they were nothing. It was like I had some weird muscle right here in my arm because I was playing baseball so much that I had a little like muscle that I never had before in my arm.
Oh,
and
like a jack off muscle?
It's like this one. Whatever that is.
And nobody can see that.
Nobody can see that. But anyway, it's I remember staring at that and being like, maybe I'm going to like get muscles. And you don't just get muscles. Like, that's not.
It doesn't just happen. Although,
no.
I guess some people are
it
more
does.
Predisposed to like.
Tell that to Brad Jester, all right? Because that dude had muscles for no reason.
I
right
love how
out
you
of the gate.
Always throw people's last name in. I'm like, her name was Susan. Maybe, maybe not. Won't tell you the last name. And you're like, his name was Brad Jester. He lived on blah, 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 blah lane.
Well, guess what? No one's innocent.
That's right. It's true. No one's innocent.
So what's a heartwarming summer memory that you have? Do you have a specific?
I just remember being at the neighborhood pool. This is definitely pre-puberty because this is when Ace of Base was the jam.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably like third or fourth grade for me.
Okay.
But I remember that was whenever I was allowed to go to the neighborhood pool by myself, which was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood.
That's huge.
In my neighborhood, that was like, I guess, the equivalent of getting a cell phone now. It was like, oh, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, her parents let her go to the pool by herself.
Going to a physical space to be with other people was the equivalent of getting a cell phone.
It was like not everybody was allowed to until they hit a certain age. It was like, so-and-so's coming and so-and-so's coming, but... you know, Sean's not allowed to come because his mom won't let him come to the public pool until we're in fourth grade.
Oh my God.
It's totally like that.
There's a hierarchy.
It's like letting your kid play, what's that fucking game?
Fortnite or something?
Fortnite, yeah. You become a social outcast because your parents don't trust you enough to go five houses down
right
to the pool in the gated neighborhood.
Oh my God.
The horror. Anyway, going there and hearing them like blast Ace of Base over the loudspeaker, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, you only need to hear an Ace of Base song two times before you're like, I get this and I have an opinion.
I needed to hear them all the time, actually. I
just say that it's immediately good.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you love Ace of Base?
I appreciate what they did. I was never super into Ace of Base like I was with other cheesy pop, but... yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was too old.
Ace of Base just made me feel like a hot little bitch.
If I was like 9 when Ace of Base came out, I would have been like, they're the best band. They're the Beatles. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember singing along and I was like, I could be in this band. I sound just like them.
And I look just like them.
I did. I did look like them, but I did not sound anything like them. Mm. And you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because my sister Meredith and I went to the Six Flags recording studio. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, you were signed artists for Six Flags Records?
We went and paid them money so that we could record songs. And we recorded The Sign.
Yeah.
And... if I could find it, I'd play it for you all. But I thought, up until hearing my cut, I thought...
Tell me about this experience, because I don't know what it's... I've never seen this.
Up until then, I was like, I'm harmonizing with them so perfectly. Our voices are just so good together.
Right.
And I'm only in fourth grade. This is crazy. You're like, I really thought that.
Yeah.
And then my sister and I went, and we were each allowed to pick a song. I chose that song.
What did she pick?
She picked Kokomo.
Really?
Yeah.
Meredith.
I know.
Aww.
Isn't that sweet?
And that's a very different key, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
I failed pretty badly at both of them, but it was like Fright Night at Astroworld. Rest in peace.
Okay.
Yeah, because I used to go to that actual place.
Wait, what's Fright Night at Astroworld got to do with Six Flags?
Astroworld was the Six Flags location in Houston.
Okay. Got it.
Also the name of the Travis Scott album and where it came from. So,
got it.
For the youngins listening.
Right.
If there are any youngins
listening.
If they're
still listening.
I went there, bitch. Mm-hmm. Anyway, was at Fright Night, the Halloween thing, and my dad was like, here's your budget for, you know, extra stuff that's not covered. And I was like, oh, well, we're definitely going to record a hit single while we have this.
What is it, like a record studio?
It's like a fake, it's like a booth. They put you into like a
Phone booth?
Like a recording booth.
Okay.
But it's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're tiny.
Is it indoors?
It's indoors.
Okay.
And it was like this little...
It's not a kiosk.
No, it wasn't a kiosk. Okay. It was like a little house. And it was like a fake recording studio.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
you were probably like cheesing so hard.
I was
hard.
Cheesing my dick off.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to... I was like, play it on the loudspeaker. I want everyone to know. And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, my God. This is awful.
Wow. Okay, so they record you, and then what, do they give you a CD?
No, they don't give you a CD. This was the time of the cassette tape.
Oh, okay.
So you get a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we got to choose our band name that they printed on there.
What did you choose?
We chose Sister to Sister. And I,
because I picture two little white girls when I hear the name Sister to Sister.
I know.
Did you do the number two? Or?
Yeah, the number two.
Okay,
come
cool.
on. All right. Of course.
Okay.
And Meredith was so small, and I just remember
how old were you? 9.
I was probably 9, 10. I just remember trying to push her away from the microphone because I was like,
this little kid is going to ruin my shot.
I don't want her to kill my melody.
And she chose Kokomo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in it, and while you're doing it, you're like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I'm fucking killing it. Do they play like a karaoke version?
They play a karaoke version.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the words are up and you sing.
And I was literally thinking, goodbye old life. Like, they're
I'm gonna miss my parents
because they play it, they would play it out loud, like outside of the little like fake recording studio, so yeah. In the common area where people are walking around, I was like, someone's gonna hear this and snatch me up and like, I don't know, sign me to something.
Wow.
And I thought, like, this has been a really sweet life, mm-hmm. in the suburbs, but now I'm going somewhere big.
I'm gonna miss
and
water skiing.
I'll probably be on Broadway after this. And then I heard it.
Where'd you hear it? You played it in the car on the way home?
And I'm not on Broadway, and I never was.
Where did they play the tape?
Well, they played it outside as we were going, and I was like...
Yeah, but you can't hear that.
I know, but I literally was thinking it was so good. I was like, when I come outside, people are going to be waiting. Nobody was waiting. And after that, when we listened to it on the way home, I remember...
Wait, you literally thought people would be waiting to see who it was?
I thought everyone was going to think it was awesome.
Oh, my God.
I know. I
bet it was awesome.
I was like a little bucktooth nerd. I knew nothing of the world. And then we put it on the way home, and I was like, ugh, that's what I sound like?
You're like, this isn't Ace of Base.
Yeah, I was like, this is not me. This is the wrong tape.
I need that tape.
Yeah, I know. I got to find it. I really got to find it.
I also really want to hear you sing Kokomo. Did you sing Kokomo with Meredith?
I sang Kokomo, but I didn't really give it my all like I gave Ace of Base my all.
Well.
And I really think that has prevented me. I've had like such bad stage fright. That's one of the moments of my life that like contributed to my stage fright. My yeah. Anyway, summer. Did you have a Six Flags by you? Is that something you did in the summer? That I did that during Fright Fest or Fright Night or whatever. But we used to go there every once in a while during the summer.
It was called Great Adventure. But I don't think it was... Wait, Six Flags Great Adventure? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
They all have different names depending on where they are.
Okay, so the one outside of San Francisco was called Great Adventure. I don't know that I ever went. Maybe we went once. I always wanted to go to... In the summer, I always wanted to go to something called Raging Waters. That mm-hmm. was the water park.
I feel like
and
I've
I was
heard
dying
of
to go there, and I think I got to go there once, but I don't remember it clearly, so maybe I never went. I mm-hmm. just, like, lived in the commercial in my head or something. But we were, not to cry poor, but we were that poor that like, I wasn't going to Six Flags. Yeah. It just wasn't going to happen.
I mean, we weren't going often because even back then I remember the tickets were like insane.
Yeah.
It was a really special, like it's someone's birthday.
It was a big deal. Yeah, exactly.
Or your rich friend invited you mm-hmm. and their parents just don't care.
Yeah. No, I wanted nothing. I didn't want to do anything more than I wanted to do that, but I don't remember ever going. So I'd have to ask Par. She would remember better.
Yeah.
But I remember like going to like certain carnivals sometimes and stuff like that.
Oh,
I just
we
love
had
that
state
atmosphere.
Fairs.
Oh, state fairs and carnivals are the best.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you don't see the dirt. You just see the lights.
I know. It's so true. I was never like grossed out by like cow patties literally everywhere and like sitting on actual bales of hay. I was like, Texas.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, whoa.
I know. And you don't notice that like
wet wipe.
You don't notice that carnies are a different type of person than the people
like
you know.
It's like a special breed of human who decides to just.
It's just the very nice man who hits the button.
Yeah.
You know? it kind of reminds me of that idea that you have when you're a kid, which they teach and I think is healthy on a certain level. The whole these are the people in your neighborhood and there's a guy who drives the trash truck and there's a guy that delivers the mail and then there's the guy that works at the store.
If it were a song, the last verse would be like, but don't trust the carny who presses the button. You know what I mean? Say hi to your trash man. Say hey to your mailman.
Yeah.
Don't talk to the carny.
Yeah, that idea that whoever was doing that job really wanted to do that job. Like they were like, that was their dream was to be.
You were thinking that?
I'm saying when we're kids, they teach us that that's what those people are.
Oh, yeah. Like that if people have jobs because that's what they wanted to do.
Exactly.
Right.
So and I think in a way that's good because you're not teaching kids about class and stuff like that yet. You're just saying like, so as a kid, you're like, oh, you know, everybody has this certain job because that's what they feel like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of like socioeconomic, you know, forces that force them into that job or whatever.
Right.
So because of as a kid, you don't know that mm-hmm. you go to a carnival and you're like, that dude loves hitting that button, and he loves watching kids have fun. That's what you think as a kid. So then you're like, it would never occur to you that this guy is like,
you know,
on meth.
What's really going on?
Yeah. And his brother, like, you know, got him the job. And
he's pressing buttons by day, and by night he's like, you know,
who knows,
managing cockfights and selling meth to local teens.
But yeah, Summers, I'm trying to remember, and it's, you're right, because, you know, the kids are home and it's like, what did we do? And as you know, they're so young now that I'm trying to remember when I was like 6 or 5, mm-hmm. what we were doing. I couldn't, to the point where I asked my dad, I was like, what did you do with us?
I lived way closer to the beach than mm-hmm. we do. So we went to the beach a lot.
Right. But that still means that a parent didn't have to go to work and would watch you all day long. Every day.
I know. But in Texas, like, I feel like there are an overwhelming number of stay-at-home moms.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that's something that you can't take for granted.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I mean, there are stay-at-home moms everywhere, but it's like a lifestyle down there.
It's like sought after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked my dad, I go, what did we do in the summers? Because I know we couldn't afford like camps mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I don't remember like what I used to spend my days doing. And he was just, all he said was, he couldn't really remember. And he goes, summers were tough.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
It is hard. It's really hard, like, getting them taken care of when both of us have to be somewhere for a work thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Or and trying to get work done at home while they're sitting there staring at you. It's like, hey, trying to get some bills paid. You want to scoot along, little buddy?
We are so fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. Yeah. If I were stuck in a room with me, I'd be like, what are we doing? But yeah, it is hard. And you feel this pressure to like have structure of some kind.
I know.
I don't know why, but you
I'm
do.
Like, do you want to just watch me work on my computer? I don't know. Or should I explain this thing that I'm doing to you? Like, sometimes I start and then I'm like, they're not listening to me. Why mm-hmm. am I even talking right now?
So, but I think summer kicks in when you can like hang out with your friends. That's when, on your own kind of, when you can like ride your bike to your friend's house.
Totally. That's I remember when we would like turn the hose on and start spraying each other with the hose and like finger paint outside. I just feel like I don't remember very many adults being around.
I did have a moment today where, because I was swimming with Goldie and our upstairs neighbor, who I won't name.
Mm-hmm.
We have a girl who lives above us mm-hmm. who's a couple years older, and they played together today and swam together in the pool, and it was fun. But I remembered the whole thing of like, you just played with who you could,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It wasn't like, do we have anything in common?
It was all about like proximity. Like
proximity.
Or it was like, my mom's friends with your mom. I guess we're going to go do something.
You're
today.
4 years younger than I am, but you're about to learn some stuff today.
Yeah.
But they made it work. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember hanging out with kids that I'm like, I'm actually afraid of this person and I have to hang out with them for 9 hours.
Yeah, that's tough.
But yeah, I guess I miss summers.
Yeah. Well, here we are. It's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you to have a hot girl summer.
What's a hot girl? Oh, what is that?
I don't know.
I've seen it like four times online and I have no idea what it is.
I think it's lyrics to a song, but I could be wrong.
It's always a Drake. So when I don't know what it is, it's Drake.
No, because I don't know what anything else is, but I can assure you that my man Drake had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Or maybe he did, and I've just been listening to that much old music lately.
Right.
I have a real issue with listening to anything that came out after, like, 2004.
It's fun being this old and trying to piece together, like, what's going on with references. Because my only context clues for Hot Girl Summer so far are a dude that got slapped by his girlfriend for something to do with Hot Girl Summer. So I don't know if he was looking at hot girls.
I never know what anybody's listening to, or if my Uber actually, like, the Uber music actually reflects the taste of the people.
Mm.
But the other day, some teens snuck into our pool, like
our pool area.
Pool. And I was not the one who snitched on them, but.
Well, you're not a snitcher.
I'm not. I was like, you're being quiet, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've snuck into places where I certainly shouldn't have been. But they were listening to music that I hear in Ubers, and that was the first time in my life
It was an Uber pool.
It was an Uber pool. And I was like, wow, they're listening to this like Coldplay techno song that I only hear. I'm pretty sure it's Coldplay. Or
it's a remix of an old Coldplay song?
Maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. I really don't know who's behind any of this witchcraft.
Right.
This sorcery. But yeah, that was a little upsetting for the youth.
That they're listening to Coldplay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, but have you guys ever heard of Kokomo by the Beach Boys?
let me sing you exactly what the sign sounds like.
And let me show you a thing or two.
All right. Well, so I miss summer smells, you know, the lotion. What is it? Suntan lotion?
Well,
love it.
I bought some like Ho body spray from Victoria's Secret that smells like pineapples and coconut.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
Spritz a little bit of that on the clean laundry.
Yeah. And, you know, it's oldie. So to this day, Motown, sunscreen, and peanut butter, or cream cheese and jelly sandwiches. That's summer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of any flavors. I don't know. In my teen years, it was definitely like Malibu or...
I thought you were going to say Natty Light, but Malibu.
Oh, yeah, Natty Light. But there's not really much of a flavor to Natty Light. So what's to miss?
Yeah, you know? That's true. Well, guys, we hope we kicked off some summer memories for you.
Tell us about your hot girl summer.
Your summer jams, your favorite summer songs, your favorite summer smells.
Tell me if you recorded anything in the studio at any of the Six Flags, because I would love to know.
Yeah.
Because anytime I talk about that, people are like, that didn't exist. I'm like, no, it really happened.
No, that sounds awesome. It's how Destiny's Child got discovered.
Exactly. Later on, that's what I thought. I was like, God, Beyonce Knowles went in there and she had the right stage parents who gave her the support and the structure she needed to nail her vocals and wow someone and look at where she is.
You're like, because the vocals are the same.
Yeah.
The vocals are the same. What's the difference?
The power was there.
What's the difference? Parents.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. And next week, we're going to just cut straight to winter. We're going to do a winter episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
A podcast network.